Laura Speer, thanks very much for joining us today.
Thanks for having me. Happy to be here.
Tell us a little bit about the Race for Results report. What exactly is it? And on a national level, can you share some of the things that you found?
Sure. The Race for Results report is a new report by the Casey Foundation. It's intended to be a state and national scorecard measuring how well children are doing on the path to opportunity, how they're progressing, and to look specifically at the impact that race continues to have on children's long-term success. And what we found is that Latino, African-American, and American Indian kids at the national level are not hitting as many of those important milestones that they need to be hitting as are white and Asian Pacific Islander kids in the U.S.
I'd like to focus a little bit on your findings for African-American children. So the report says the situation for Black youth is dire. What makes it so dire?
Well, when we looked across the indicators, across the 12 indicators that we track, and they are things that are very much connected into long-term success. What we found is that sort of how African American kids are doing on those measures is the weakest of any racial group. Starting with whether or not they're reading proficiently by fourth grade, only 17% of African-American fourth graders across the country, and this is across all income groups, are reading proficiently. Only 14% of eighth graders are scoring at or above proficient in math. So what you see later on is that African-American kids are less likely to be getting the high school diploma, less likely to get that associate's degree. And we know that in today's economy, it's really absolutely critical for young people to have at least a high school diploma, if not more, in order to be able to get a job that's going to pay them enough to support themselves, much less support a family.
Indiana seems to me among the worst states for African-American children in terms of opportunities and outcomes and hitting those milestones, like you said. And many of our Midwestern neighbors are in the same boat. Are there factors that you can isolate about Indiana or about the Midwest that seem to be keeping us near the bottom, at least in terms of getting African-American kids to hit those milestones?
The state actually with African-American kids are doing the worst is Wisconsin. Michigan is also in that kind of bottom five, and Indiana is in the bottom 10 in terms of our measures. For the most part, the fact that most African-American families came to those places in order to work in manufacturing jobs that were paying pretty well, the fact that those jobs are gone and that they have not been replaced by other jobs that could allow a parent to be able to support a family, the results is you're really seeing it in their children, and that's kind of depressing. I mean, in that it's sort of the next generation, and giving them additional barriers to overcome is a bit depressing. But we think there are examples of places out there that have made a difference, that have actually taken on things like economic expansion for specifically focus on disconnected populations. And we've included some of those examples in our report.
Even as Indiana is one of the bottom 10 states for African-American children, we're also one of the, if I'm reading the data right, we're also one of the better states for white children. Can you help us understand, you know, why there might be such a gulf between, you know, kids growing up in the same state?
What's going on with Indiana in terms of the gap between white kids and black kids is not that different from what's happening in most states. There are very few places where there's not a pretty substantial gap. And, you know, one of the things that I think was an interesting result of this report that we found that in some places where there are relatively small populations of particular children, the likelihood that their outcomes on specifically on educational outcomes are closer is actually better. So places where that's not the case, where communities are relatively segregated, where there have been structures that have been put into place many decades ago, usually, generally speaking, the kids are more likely to be living in communities that are under-resourced, schools that are under-resourced, and that shows in their outcomes.
We often hear political and community leaders around here and certainly around the country say, you know, well, we need to do better for our kids. But how can states like Indiana and others start to do better, especially for children of color?
Well, we think it really starts with examining the decisions that are made every single day in government and in the private sector. They are decisions that create opportunities for some kids and not for others. And so we think we really need to be more intentional and hold our policymakers accountable to improve the understanding about how these decisions impact different groups of kids. Some of the recommendations we included in our report are around the fact that we need to gather and analyze data that's disaggregated by race to inform all phases of programs, policies, and decision-making, and then use that data in order to target investments and to make changes for kids of color that can actually have an impact for them. So one example of this that we included in the report is places like in Seattle, where they're using racial equity impact statements to look at all of the policymaking that's happening at the community level and to analyze how that those policies are impacting different racial groups differently. So I think that a lot can be done sort of with the resources that we have now and with looking at the way that our systems treat kids differentially that can make a big difference. If we could better fund schools in low-income communities and communities that are generally kids of color, it would make a difference, no doubt about it. But there are other things that can be done even just to really to break down some of the barriers that are up there and that are putting kids on a different path than we want them to be.
Laura Speer, we really appreciate your time today. Thank you so much.
Well, thanks very much for having me. It was great talking to you.